Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CacheFly at cachefly.com. This is the iPhone Alley Podcast, episode 63 for November 22nd, 2009. Brought to you by Adam's Mustache. It is time for the iPhone Alley Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and we're here gathered around the virtual roundtable to talk about all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, all that great stuff. Tonight with me is Mr. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. How's it going with you?
It is going dang fine.
The air conditioner just turned off. Well, the heat just turned off in the building. That's why we were just, you know, shooting the breeze beforehand. So... And now it's turning back on because it heard me talking about it. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? My table is in the shape of a giant dodecahedron, though.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah,
D20. I'll pretend I know what that means.
It's okay.
Don't worry, the D&D nerds got it, so that's all that matters.
So that proves that I'm better than them.
No.
Or that I'm not. Okay, that's true. I proved to everybody else that I'm higher than a D&D nerd. But to them, I'm lower.
Yes, you are.
Sorry, yep. D&D nerds. Sorry. Okay, I'm not going to go there. All right, so let's move on to the iPhone stuff, because that's why we're here, talking into our computers. First bit of news, which I found really interesting, because Eliminate is a really cool game. We talked about it.
You did.
I talked about it a lot. It's a first-person shooter from the guys at NG Moco, the guys who got a whole bunch of iFund funding. And they've just been putting out hit after hit, I feel. I mean, there are some games that are, what's the other one, Touch Puppies or something?
That's a euphemism.
Uh-huh. It's actually a game, Jeff. But so Eliminate Pro is a first-person shooter for the iPhone. It's full-blown, online multiplayer first-person shooter, and it rocks. Have you guys tried it out? I've had issues with my thumbs gradually getting sweaty and it becoming difficult to actually use comfortably on the phone. But other than that, it's been a lot of fun.
I have that thing called the day job, and I just don't find I have that much extra time on my hands.
But have you tried it?
No, I have not tried
Jeff,
it.
Jeff, have you tried it?
I have not.
You guys need to try this. This is fantastic.
Well, no, because that's the kind of thing that I would get sucked into, and then you wouldn't see me for a month and a half.
Here's the great thing about playing games on the iPhone. It very easily hurts your neck and your eyes and your thumbs, and it just really... You just want to put it down after 5 minutes.
So bad ergonomics is really an advantage in this case.
Yeah, it is an advantage.
So that's a feature.
That is
good
a feature.
To know.
It's built in, and I've circumvented that feature by putting like some Vaseline on my thumbs. And it's fine because it'll just wipe off the screen, you know, when you're finished.
I think you should just stop talking about that.
I know. Maybe we should just mute you, Jeff, because Adam's pretty good at keeping his head out of the gutter.
Well, so there's some actual news behind this.
Okay, so there is actual news behind
the
this. They're actually
Jeff's corrupted mind.
Yes, they've made it. Eliminate Pro has made it to the top grossing list in the App Store. So they're actually making a buttload of money on this free game because it is free, and that's awesome.
There you go in the gutter again.
I didn't do it. I avoided a bad word, and then it just went back to the gutter. So, yeah, when the piece was written, they were in the 22nd most profitable app. They've probably gone up, and it's because the way you play it is you need to have energy when you go into the arena, and you collect credits to buy upgrades and all that stuff. But if you don't have any energy, you can't earn credits. So you get more credits, you know, based on how many people you kill and if you win the round. But every time you go into a match, your energy is drained. So at some point, I think maybe after 3 or 4 games, you're out of energy and you either have to buy some more energy to continue earning credits or just play with that energy and just play. And that, you know, that really, that impulse buy of, oh, I want to keep playing and buying more energy is just, I mean, it's so perfectly done that, I mean, it's very obvious because they're the 22nd most profitable app in the App Store and it's free.
You know, I'm laughing because Jeff and I, we had this in the 80s. It was called a video game machine and you had to keep stuffing quarters in to keep playing.
That's exactly it.
It's like the same model applied to the iPhone. It's awesome. It's pure genius.
I hadn't thought of it that way. That really is genius.
Except you can keep playing. You just don't earn any more points. Now, the interesting thing is...
But if you want to advance the game, if you want to keep going,
you
know, more credits, more money. Yep. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things doing this now too. I mean, it's a new craze. Farmville, I think, on which I also haven't played, on Facebook is like this too. I understand. Right.
I wouldn't know. I'm not good at Facebook.
Well, it's this game on Facebook, and to keep you buy these virtual things. It's like buying virtual credits, virtual products.
Okay.
You know, World of Warcraft is classically great at this.
Do you actually you pay real money to do this Farmville thing?
Get in-game money. I guess I don't really understand it. I've just heard a lot of people talking about it, and I get a lot of invites, but I don't accept any of that stuff. For the same reason why I don't get why I'm not playing Eliminate Pro at the moment.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, I have some kind of disorder where I can't become addicted to any of these games. I've looked at a lot, you know, I looked at Eliminate Pro and immediately I was like, wow, this is great. I looked at some other games, you know, all the time I see something cool and I'm like, I'm totally going to get hooked on this. And 2 days later, I have no interest in it whatsoever. Now, my friend, so
have you bought credits? Have you plunked any
I'd spent 99 cents on a pack of credits and that's as far as it's gone. And I haven't played in days.
So you're ADD.
Yeah, that's my problem. But my friend Arnold Kim, and I say my friend, I think he's all of our friends. He's at level 19 in Eliminate Pro and he can't stop playing it. And he mentioned on the Twitter that if they come out with a capture the flag map, then he would not stop playing. And I feel like I would really get into it at that point because right now it's just kill everybody. And if you can do teams. Oh, that's for me, that's where the real fun is because you can say, hey, you know, because right now you can invite your friends, you know, I could invite Arnold Kim to play with me right now, but I'd be killed. I'd be completely dead because I'm a level 3 and he's 19. But teams, that's where it is for me. So I don't know. Eliminate Pro, it's free. Check it out. And, you know, it does actually come with some energy built in when you first sign up, so you don't have to pay immediately. And of course it recharges every single day, so you don't actually have to pay. And I definitely recommend it for anybody who likes first person shooters. But like I said before, it gets a little tiring. And I think that's one of the big deals for me why, you know, I'm not playing it constantly because it just, you know, at some point your thumbs get tired from that awkward movement.
Yeah, right. I mean, for me, the iPhone seems more geared towards casual gaming, and this is like long term gameplay. If you're doing, you know, FPS, first person shooters. I've tried them. You know, I had a PSP, PlayStation Portable, and it's the same kind of thing. It's just like it just doesn't seem like the right platform, the right screen size. But I certainly played, you know, Quake and Doom and Unreal Tournament and all those on the Mac and absolutely loved them. And we would play for hours and hours and hours. I couldn't see having that same experience on an iPhone, but apparently people are.
Well, that's why I like games. That's why I like games like Cannibalt and even iBlast, like the iBlast Moki. I don't know if we've talked about that one, but it's a lot of fun. But the great thing is you can play one or two levels and then, you know, okay, I'm done. Go, just don't even hit save, just hit the home button and you're doing something else. And next week you come back to it and, you know, while you're waiting in line or whatever and play a couple more levels and then, you know, go back to doing productive stuff. Now, have you guys checked out Sims 3? Cause I know it's been out for a long time, but I just recently got it and I can't, it's just too much stuff to worry about on a phone.
Yeah, that's another one of those things. It's interesting to see the variety of games coming to the iPhone that are moving over from the desktop, and just to think about what the the difference in the experience might be. I mean, sim games are another one of those things. It's just usually a huge time suck. And again,
even if
it were for battery life, that would be the other thing is, I mean, how people must have to be carrying around, 10 battery packs for extended play. Because games, especially, I can only imagine something like Eliminate Pro with the 3D graphics being juiced up, as I assume they are, that it just drains your phone like you wouldn't believe.
I haven't noticed that, but I haven't played a whole lot. Yeah. Moving on, Gameloft has announced that they sell 400 times more games on the iPhone than they do on the Android. And let's see, the director of the finance director at Gameloft has addressed it and said that he thinks the reason is because the Android App Store is not designed as well as the iPhone App Store, which is interesting because we spend all our time criticizing the
complaining
iPhone
about
App Store.
It, yeah. That's interesting. I mean, he doesn't attribute it to the fact that Android just hasn't had the saturation that.
That's
that
not
the,
what he. I mean, that's
iPhone
what I would have thought.
Has, you know?
He didn't mention that. No, not at all.
So I saw this story and I thought, well, that's a bit, disingenuous. One, they don't have the kind of. They haven't had the kind of hardware that really, I think.
Right.
Lends itself to gaming. They just are starting to get that now with the Android 2.0 operating system and some of the newer phones. So, I say we need to see this number in, their 6 months to a year to really know. I mean, of course, I'm glad to hear stuff like that because I think people are really enjoying the iPhone as a gaming platform. I think there's a couple gaming stories in this episode that we're going to be talking about. So, it is definitely making roads the iPhone, but I think I saw this story, and of course, Gameloft is selling 400% more. There's 400% more, people using iPhones. Probably not that much, but you get the point. I mean, there's a lot more people using the iPhone OS than are using Android phones, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and as far as I haven't played with Android phones a whole lot. I've played with the G1 and I played with the Droid, and I really like the Droid. I don't know if I mentioned that yet. I really like the Droid.
Can we talk about that a little bit too, just as an aside?
About the Droid?
Played around with the Droid too. Have you had a chance, Jeff, to mess with it?
I have not. Excuse me. I have not.
Yeah. And, for me, it seemed okay. It was pretty good. And, maybe, of course, I'm totally biased, but, I was trying to be as impartial as possible. The navigation thing was pretty interesting and cool, although I have to say the voice sucks and I couldn't figure out a way to change the did you listen to the voice navigation, the GPS app?
No, I didn't. I didn't try
turn by turn. Oh, it was pretty awful. You could barely understand at least the default voice that was on in the Verizon store. But just the fact that you have turn by turn for free through Google is an awesome thing on that phone.
That totally rocks.
And the touchscreen seemed pretty good. It didn't seem as responsive as my iPhone, or it didn't feel like it was. And the other thing is, a lot of people are really raving about the screen, and I wasn't that impressed with the screen, although I think in the store they didn't have the brightness kind of cranked all the way up. So I did crank it all the way up, and it got a lot better, but it seemed like it had to be on a pretty high brightness to kind of match what I felt the iPhone screen was like. Uh-huh. But overall, it didn't seem that intuitive to me to use. And in a lot of interfaces, it wouldn't switch to landscape unless you flipped up the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And did you use the keyboard at all, Michael?
I did use the keyboard, and I used the virtual keyboard too.
I could not use that keyboard without the physical keyboard with the flat keys without, accidentally, hitting other keys, which I'm assuming is something I could eventually get used to, but the keys seemed too small even for, and I don't have huge hands or fingers, for me to be able to type on very easily. But what was more frustrating was that the delete button was right above the enter button.
Oh, ouch.
So you'd go to like fix a misspelling and you'd be hitting return. You know, you'd be hitting enter, which was really bugging me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't.
The virtual keyboard was fine though, I felt.
I actually had the opposite experience. I had a good time with the physical keyboard. It worked pretty well for me. The virtual keyboard just continuously made mistakes for me. It must be the phone that I was using, mm-hmm. because it continuously typed double characters of whatever I pressed.
Mm. I didn't notice that. But I mean, just overall, again, it just didn't seem.
Well, I think it's the OS.
It didn't seem as polished. You know, it just it wasn't as fluid in terms of just navigating around and getting through things, and the scrolling was not quite as fluid as, you know, I think what the iPhone has. It certainly was an improvement. I played around with the G1, and it's a huge improvement over the G1.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
just a quick aside on the Android, just because I had a chance to play with it the past week or so.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, I heard Merlin Mann talking about his experience with using a G1 temporarily, and it made me think about that as a different approach to the phone. And it's kind of, you know, the Windows sort of approach to operating systems, as opposed to the iPhone, where there's one very obvious way of doing something. On the Android, there, you know, maybe several ways of doing something. I mean, even just looking at the keyboard, you have a physical keyboard and a virtual keyboard. I mean, you have the home screen, but you also have the menu system where you can put, you know, apps and folders and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's for different people. I'm very much happy with my iPhone, but I feel like it's a solid phone for anybody who isn't necessarily a fan of the iPhone.
Right. And, you know, to reiterate, I think something I mentioned on prior shows is I really think now Apple, the one thing that's nice about the Droid is that now Apple has a real competitor that for all those people that they haven't been able to flip over to AT&T, this is what Apple needs to be focused on now, you know, is opening up their carriers. I think they really are going to have to work harder to do a deal with Verizon if they don't want the Droid to start to really eat into their market share. Because I think there'll be a small percentage of people that are just fed up with AT&T's network and want to switch back, and the Droid will be enough like an iPhone for them to move back. And then there's all those people that have been waiting for the iPhone to show up on Verizon. This, I think, is a viable alternative for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people are going to be very happy with it. You know, and not feel like they're having to settle for some other phone to stay on Verizon. So
yeah.
I think it is going to prove to be a problem for Apple if they don't deal with it.
You know, I think that you're actually wrong on this one.
Huh.
As long as Apple doesn't start doing stupid things with the iPhone, I think they're going to be fine. I think...
You mean like pissing off developers?
Okay, that could be an issue. Yeah.
Sorry.
So as long as
I just
Apple,
know our next the next story we're getting to. So
all right. So as long as Apple doesn't let that get out of control and then ultimately start losing end users in droves, which I think it's all going to get worked out. I just don't know how yet. All right. So that said, I don't think the iPhone is the market that's going to get hurt by Android. I think it's the Windows Mobile market that's going to get hurt by Android.
Now, aren't they already getting kind of pounded by it?
They are, but there's a lot of people out there with Windows Mobile, and then we also have BlackBerry, and I'd like to throw WebOS in there, but, well, why bother? So,
do we think that the Palm Pre was a total flop? Because I thought it was a good phone.
Really?
I don't know that it's
I didn't
a total,
even think it was a good phone.
Really? I liked it. It had nice slick styling. It had John Rubinstein all over it, but
you know,
I don't think it's a total flop though, is it? I mean, really?
I've heard that from several people and I didn't think that myself.
Well, okay. So I think that the Pre didn't do as well as Palm needs it to do.
Okay.
That and I would agree with, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're giving it an all or none evaluation, in that sense, yes, it would be a flop. But I don't think it's really a flop. I think it just failed to perform at the level that Palm needs. And I don't think they can make it up with the Pixie.
Yeah, even giving them away, which I think happened over the past week or so, something like that. Wasn't Amazon kind of sort of deal where they were giving them away basically, where they were like $50 or something?
Yeah, it kind of makes me want to go out and get one just to play with it. Although I need a contract, so.
Yeah, so what you need to do is trick someone into going out and getting one.
Yeah, or just trick someone at Sprint to give me one.
Now, I thought I heard a rumor somewhere that Droid phone prices had already dropped dramatically, but I can't remember where I saw that. It was like something I saw in passing. And I
think again, there's some deals going on you know, some discounts through places like Amazon and stuff like that that you can get. So I think they're being heavily discounted going into the holiday season, depending on where you look. I think I had heard some of the same things.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
They're just getting aggressive. And again, I think these are things that Apple has to worry about. You know, Apple has to be thinking about to a certain degree. Worry may be too strong, but they have to be paying attention for sure.
Right. And now, with the market share Apple has with the iPhone and the potential growth they have, as long as they don't let the stupid things become major problems, I don't think they need to worry too much about losing the market share or going for the people that want to buy a phone for $49. And they can do the same thing in that market that they've done with the Macintosh market, where they can make a quality product and have a broad spectrum of prices that are reasonable and still draw in the customers they want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the States, it just seems like that they're really, the AT&T thing is starting to really become their one point of weakness. And I know we have some things to talk about later in the show regarding AT&T and the whole Verizon stuff.
Well, we can talk about that now. The the AT&T filed
for their counter strategy is a lawsuit, which I just think was completely crazy.
Yeah, they wanted Verizon to stop airing the ads with the coverage map comparing Verizon to AT&T, where they were only showing 3G coverage of AT&T, which is horrible. Compared to Verizon's coverage.
And they should have spent the money on better ads.
Well, then they spent money on creating a new ad with Luke Wilson.
Did anybody find that compelling?
No.
You know, exactly. I found it clever from a design standpoint, not from an actual marketing standpoint, because they did the whole thing where the only thing that ends up in the Verizon column is which company has a name that starts with V.
Yeah.
Right. Which was cute, but I mean...
Yeah.
Cuteness isn't going to win this war.
No,
God forbid they should do another thing like spend some money on improving the things that people are complaining about.
Well, I feel like they are, and I don't want to rip on AT&T too much because it's a popular thing.
Oh, why? It's so much fun.
Well, I also
and they're such an easy target.
They are, but I feel like they are doing a good job, and the fact that they're not, they turned on the 850 megahertz spectrum in a lot of areas, and they've actually improved the network around Rockford. Where I am, even, they say, we're improving it, and they actually did. So I'm not, that compelled to bash on them.
Well, and I think the point you're hitting on is something we've mentioned before. I mean, what is the reality versus the marketing, versus the Verizon marketing or even AT&T's marketing? And for me, in my market, I'm in the same boat as you, Michael, and I would agree with everything you said. I mean, I was kind of joking about them being an easy target and just always bagging on them, but I've really never had a problem. And I switched from Verizon, and I've been happy with AT&T's customer service. I've been overall happy with their coverage. There was about 6 months where I was getting some dropped calls where I really think it's a congestion problem on their network. And in recent months, I would agree, it seems like things have improved. Like there was this one area when I left my my office, I'd go up this one hill and every time it would drop a call without fail. And it doesn't do that anymore. So they've obviously done something to improve their network. And I'm hearing from more and more people, just like you said, hey, it's improved in my area. I don't know, Jeff, if you've seen the same thing in your area.
Oh, yeah. Denver was actually one of the markets they started on first with the upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And the improvements, and keep in mind, the coverage that I had throughout the Denver and Boulder metro areas was actually really good. But with the new upgrades, I'm surprised at the dramatic improvement. So it got that much better. There's still a couple places where I think, really, you can't, in this part of Boulder, have coverage and... that's lame, but by and large, the improvements were dramatic.
So wouldn't you guys have thought like a simple ad with, the technical, lead of who's ever in charge of AT&T's network or the CEO or the president or somebody just, straight camera shot saying, look, we've heard the complaints. We know people, these are the things we've been doing and we're going to continue to improve the network and you know, just a real simple, straightforward ad like that, I think would have done it for me and a lot of people, as opposed to, I don't know, the Luke Wilson thing. Like I said, it has the one clever line in it, but it seems like it was rushed out and it was just a reactionary response.
Right.
Now, I'm sure it was.
The one thing I want to ask about is the talk and surf at the same time deal. Is that an issue on Verizon that they can't be on the phone and actually access data at the same time?
I think that's because the data and the voice run over the same connection.
So that's an issue that they're going to face until they upgrade their networks, I'm guessing.
I think it's just a technical limit. I think it's a limitation of the technology.
Right, until they go.
I don't know. I'm totally just guessing. So
until they go to HSPA, their 4G stuff.
You know, that's a big hindrance
that
from
is.
My perspective.
Well, if you, I mean, on the iPhone, or if you're on, you know, just Edge, if you don't have 3G access, you have that same issue on AT&T.
So not in all markets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've actually been on Edge in Denver and been able to do data and voice at the same time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. See, in Rockford, you can't do that. It always shuts off in this area. And I wonder if even in Chicago it does that too. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, there's actually something you can check. Like when you're on an Edge network and you go and look in the info for your iPhone and it tells you what kind of network you're on. And there's a code in there. And when you look at it, you can tell if you're on a network that supports voice and data over Edge or if it's one like you're in where it's one or the other.
You mean on the secret iPhone menu thing? The secret diagnostic thing?
You know, it's been so long. I can't remember if it's on the secret one or if it's on the regular one. Here I am. I just whipped out my iPod Touch so I could look. Yeah, that was bright.
Well, yeah, okay. So
I have the same problem with my iPhone though, but it's generally related to the fact that I don't have a Bluetooth headset and I just can't take the phone away from my ear while I'm talking and actually serve data. But it's not a technical limitation, it's a physical limitation.
You'll notice that the first time, you know, this is probably more relevant when the iPhone first came out, but you know, the first time someone called me up and said, "Hey, I know you have an iPhone, can you real quick look up on Google Maps, you know, tell me where to go?" And, you know, I had to say, "Well, I can't because I'm talking to you on the phone right now. And I, you know, even if I put you on speakerphone, it won't work." At least that's what happened in our area. So I think that was, and I think I was in Chicago.
Oh, really?
When I was doing that. Yeah. Yeah. It's never worked where
I never had that problem.
Edge.
You know, put the person on speaker, take the phone down from your ear. And
if you're on 3G, it works. If you're on Wi-Fi, it works.
But the most awesome thing is when you have a Bluetooth headset in and you're actually able to talk and do the data at the same time. I mean, the first time I did that, I was like, "Oh, this is so cool."
Yep.
And to think that, you know, you wouldn't be able to do that at all, which it looks like it is. It looks like it's maybe a limitation of older CDMA technology. I think I'm reading some stuff here that shows there is a new spec that supports it. I don't know if it's rolled out or not.
Well, I remember that, you know, some AT&T employee told me, you know, back before the iPhone was even launched, they said, "Oh yeah, we got the iPhone because we can do that. We can do the talk and the data at the same time." And well, you know, of course that was just someone who made up their own idea of why they got the iPhone instead of Verizon. But I guess that is something that they, you know, in some networks that works in.
It was definitely touted at the launch event, you know, at Macworld when they were
they were showing demos of that.
Yeah. They were making a big deal about that fact. So
well, I think they were always on Wi-Fi, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, when they were doing the demos, but I think they were saying, "Look at all this stuff." And remember the first commercials that came out were kind of geared that direction too.
Yeah, they
it's like
were.
Someone calls you up and says, "Hey, where do we want to have dinner?" And
yeah, that's
find a sushi place, and then you get directions, and you know, it's all happening all at once, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The sort of multitasking capabilities.
Mm-hmm. So Apple has put up an ad for a new position in their game media as a game media software engineer.
This is back to the gaming thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The job description says that the Interactive Media Group is looking for a skilled engineer to work with them. And I guess it doesn't really tip off that they're looking for anyone who's involved with games until you get down to the bullet points of, you know, requirements. And one of those is, 3 to 4 years of video game development experience and a person who has shipped at least one AAA title, and someone who's also a passionate gamer. So I guess Apple has three apps in the store, right? Two of them, are not games, and then they have the Texas Hold'em, or I guess four.
It's a great game, by the way. I don't have it on the iPhone. I have it on my iPod. The iPod version is awesome.
Oh, you have the non-iPhone OS version?
Yeah, for my 5th-gen iPod. I bought it for my 5th-gen iPod. It's a great game.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever bought that game. I don't have it.
Anyway.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think Apple's going to be getting into games? I guess that's the idea with bringing this up.
Possibly, but it's sort of like, why? They've got so many great, we were just talking about, great third party title. I guess it's kind of like Nintendo, but Nintendo's kind of the opposite thing. I find with like a lot of my Nintendo stuff, some of the third party stuff doesn't stack up to the in-house stuff that they build or publish. And I don't know that Apple has that problem. So I guess I wouldn't know what problem they're trying to solve.
I wonder if they're maybe looking for someone to do this to kind of help out with third parties. Because don't they help out with the third party developers in with development of, if you're high profile enough?
I don't know. I mean, could it be something related to, a tablet computer?
That's very true. That's very possible.
Which I haven't heard thrown out, but I just kind of thought of that now too.
I try really hard to avoid the tablet rumors because one, I feel like it's stupid, and two, I think it's stupid, but
I don't know how you can avoid them, but yeah.
Yeah.
But regardless, so on the iPhone, does Apple need to develop its own game titles?
I don't see any reason why they shouldn't.
Yeah. There's no reason not to, because they can, why give away 70% when they could keep it?
Sure.
Right. And, they know all the secret hooks because they have access to all of the hidden APIs that the rest of the world doesn't get. So they have the potential to make some stunningly cool games that really take advantage of the features of an iPhone or an iPod Touch. So why not?
But I mean, you bring up a good point too, Michael. I mean, it could be the kind of thing where they hire somebody in-house to work with and help other game developers, or maybe help develop games and, let somebody else publish it. Who knows?
And I feel like a lot of high-profile developers have said in the past that Apple just does not understand the gaming, section of the market.
John Carmack said that, right?
And I feel like Gabe Newell at Gabe Newell, he said that too. What's the company? It's not Steam. It's, why am I blanking on this? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I'm not an avid gamer, unfortunately.
Oh, Valve.
which is Steam, right?
Yeah.
Steam, Valve, what?
Yeah, I feel like he's said the same thing, and that's kind of been the popular, theme, is that, Apple will bring in a game developer like Newell or Carmack and be very excited to start doing games and stuff, and it'll turn out that they weren't that dedicated to it. But obviously the iPhone and the iPod Touch have gone in a direction that they can't ignore that anymore.
Well, they marketed the iPod Touch as a gaming platform for several months, and they've kind of dropped it since. But I mean, they kind of made a big deal about the iPod Touch as a gaming system.
Right.
Well, when they launched the most recent model of the iPod Touch,
right,
they really pushed gaming there too.
Right.
They
did. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as the pocket computer thing. But yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. I know we're bouncing all around because I'm not good at arranging these topics. We should talk about
it's exciting. I can't wait to see where we go next.
Yeah. The Google phone. This is interesting because they very recently announced showed the video of the Chrome OS, right?
Right.
Right. Which is really just the Chrome web browser.
I don't know if I want to get into that because I think it's incredibly stupid, but did you see the puppet video of Walt Mossberg?
Oh my God, that was funny. So thank you for sending me that link.
Adam, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, Walt Mossberg talking about how, it was a very colorful depiction of Walt Mossberg.
And it's probably pretty close to
probably
realistic.
Exactly how he feels about it. But the I guess so. Mike Arrington has heard, you know, from sources that Google will be unveiling actual, you know, Android hardware. You know, so the entire device will be under their control as far as, you know, hardware and software goes. Initially, it was said to be ready for the holiday season, but something pushed it to, you know, to January 2010.
I know what pushed it to January 2010. It doesn't exist. Michael Arrington smokes glue, sniffs glue. Shit. It doesn't exist. There is no Google phone.
I'm gonna put a note in the show notes that with the link to the Walt Mossberg video about the Chrome OS, because that's good. But yeah, so you don't think the Google phone is gonna happen?
Not at all. I do not see Google making their own phone.
Yeah, since when is Google a hardware company? And again, what's the advantage to them making that bit of hardware? I mean, I guess if they want to do the Apple thing, if they want to do the Nokia thing, if they want to do the, you know, but they've got a million vendors. I think they're on the right path with open sourcing Android. And you know, Android, I think, is the iPhone contender. And you know, HTC is making some nice phones. This new Motorola phone for its styling is okay. It's pretty good. You know, you already mentioned the you know, things like the Palm Pre in terms of design. Could you imagine if you had the Palm Pre design with an Android OS?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Although, well, then again, the Palm Pre OS, I have to say, I think it looks better than the Android OS, and I think it fits perfectly on that phone. But I guess the you know, what I got from Arrington's comments was that he feels that Google isn't happy with any of the phones out there and in them taking advantage of the features in the operating system.
Well, that I can understand.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. You know,
yeah. Well, you have companies that are traditional cell phone makers.
Right.
And so they will make traditional cell phones. You can give them the best OS in the world, and it will still be limited by their narrow vision of what cell phones are.
Right. And I think they've, you know, Google has put out reference hardware for the manufacturers, but, you know, of course, they've gone and done whatever they want to do. And some of them even put these silly skins on top of them.
Right. That was what I was mentioning, I think, in the last episode. I think that's kind of the one bane of the Android operating system is anybody can kind of tweak it and make it
know, look
their
horrible
version of the Android operating system, which kind of kills the user experience.
Right.
But that's the trade-off. When you make an OS for everyone to use like this,
right. Oh, yeah.
They're going to go in and make their own little changes to it.
Oh, this is one of the things I hate on even on the Microsoft platform. You know, we have these. I have a ThinkPad at work, and to change the network settings, you have to use the sort of whatever network thing IBM threw on there, or Lenovo. It's like this Lenovo utility, and there's a checkbox you can get it back to using the Windows networking thing. But, you know, good luck finding it and getting in there, and it keeps resetting itself. And it's just like every time I'm like, I know where to get it in network. I don't know what this Lenovo garbage is you threw on top of the operating system
I've never been able to figure out how to connect a Windows machine to a wireless network.
You know, I've
if
had
it has any security on it at
doing
all.
Doing it through a virtual machine on a Mac.
Yeah, because the vendors do this. They throw their own, you know, utility thing on top of the Microsoft built-in stuff, and it's totally redundant. It's like, why do you need it? And the same thing is happening on some of the phones with the Google OS, unfortunately.
Well, if we're going to be talking about Google, we should talk about how they just recently purchased AdMob. And how do you?
No, this is just because you know, I saw that story, and I'm sure you're getting this, but you know, the thing that Apple was in talks with them, and how they let that revenue slip through their fingers. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, there's rumors, you know, who knows if it actually occurred or not, that Apple, prior to Google buying them, was in talks with AdMob. So, like, Apple could own the advertising piece for most of their apps.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Apple not having it, on one hand, that's kind of sad, and on the other hand, kind of good.
I feel like it's better than, yeah. you know, I think it's good more than bad.
But I mean, you look at the price. What did Google pay for AdMob?
They paid $750 million.
And how much does Apple have in the bank? $32 billion?
Yeah,
something like that.
Something like that. Well, I feel like
they
more,
could have written a check over lunch for AdMob.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's better that that Apple doesn't have control over that.
Well, now, better for us probably, but
right.
you know, if you're a shareholder in Apple, you're thinking, why did they let this go?
Sure. Well, now, I think the more Google interesting have, point is that you know, AdMob was only making it projected about 45 to 60 million a year.
Well, what if you took something like AdMob and then you linked it into, say, your own operating system that's being put on smartphones?
Uh-huh.
And now you have a built-in ad generating, revenue generating system right in the OS.
Yep, it's back to these free-tard operating systems, and
right.
if I'm going to take
right. Well, and there was that patent, right, that Apple supposedly had for an OS that was ad-supported.
Oh yeah.
Now, creating a patent or patenting something like that doesn't necessarily mean a company's going to do something with that.
I would start using Windows if Apple put out one of those. If that idea came to fruition, I would be done.
No, but you know, I don't know if it'd be an all or nothing thing. I think it would be your classic, you know, it's your classic freemium okay. model, right? It's like, hey, you know, if you just want the OS and you don't care, think of how many apps you have. I have apps on my iPhone where I'm perfectly happy with the free version with ads. Twitterific is a great example. I haven't purchased the non-ad version of Twitterific because it does not bother me that there's little ads in there.
This is true. Who does the ads in Twitterific? I don't remember. Is it AdMob?
I don't remember.
Because
either.
I noticed Shazam.
Shazam, I pay attention to them, right?
Shazam was doing the AdMob, and I noticed, like, you know, just days after this was announced, that the ads kind of got better. It has little transitions in it, and it has a little G for Google, but you know they look a lot better.
Okay, see, now you brought up Shazam, and I got to take us down another rat hole because I have to know.
That's fine. Okay, go.
Have you seen Shazam has a new like paid version of their app? That's
yeah, I have
featured?
That. The Shazam.
Okay, so what's the difference, and why is it worth $5 versus free?
I'm not sure.
Okay, here's the difference. The difference is the paid version lets you have the unlimited song checks.
So if you haven't,
month.
If you didn't buy it, if you didn't download it for free already, it's now
you're
stuck
limited to
at
five a month. Is that right?
I think so.
It's like five a week or five a month.
Yeah.
But if you had previously downloaded the free version, but before the paid version came out,
right.
you still get to keep your unlimited song download or checks.
Oh, really? Score for me. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. And
raffle over. Sidebar.
You know,
over.
And doing the whole thing with having it as a free app with unlimited song checks to me makes more sense because Shazam can do an affiliate link from right. the app back to the app store. So every time you listen to a song and then buy it from iTunes, then they're getting a cut.
Right.
So why not give it to everyone and say, listen as much as you want. But
well, I'll just say Madomi has gotten a lot better and it's pretty darn good. And that one you can sing to.
It's 5 tags per month. And I haven't looked at Madomi in a while. I thought I tried it.
It's gotten a lot better than it was. You might try it again. Just
and you can sing to it?
You can sing to it, yeah. It's actually a kind of a fun party game to like try and see, you know, if singing to it, you can get it to get the song.
Sure.
You know, you pass it around the table and get friends and people to see if it actually gets the song, or you can also just laugh at what it actually comes up with if your you know, singing is really bad.
Yeah.
So it's like a bonus.
So I'm looking at the Shazam. It's called Shazam Encore. It's $5. And I talked to their PR people, and because a lot of people were asking about, you know, how does it know whether you have purchased the app previously or not? And I've actually gone as far as to remove the app from my phone, restore my phone, and then I guess maybe it's just like a preference file that got put back onto my phone when I restored all my information. But the Shazam, the free version, still allows me to do unlimited tagging. But the Shazam Encore, I believe it allows you to check out the top 10 tagged songs, you know, of the week or something, which I think is an interesting idea.
You know, I guess it depends on how you use it. For me, I don't care what the top tag songs are for the week. All I want to know is what song am I listening to in the place that I'm at right now?
Right. And right. I think you can also sync your tags up to their server too.
Right.
So you can you can keep track of it.
It's an awesome app and I love it. And I think we've recommended it on the show before. Yeah. And I show it to people all the time. It's one of those apps that you're constantly going back to and going, this is why, you know, the iPhone is so cool.
I'm glad they found a way to make more money. Because it seemed like they weren't
really
making it. I never
understood what the revenue model was, other than, like Jeff mentioned, I always figured it was the affiliate thing.
Right.
And I guess maybe they weren't making enough money off that. So I certainly don't want to see them go away. But I was surprised. I was a little shocked at the price, and I couldn't see what extra features I was getting for $4.99 that I wasn't with the free one. And I guess part of that issue was the fact that I already have it. So
I'm sure they do a very bad job of describing what the additional features are. Yeah. On their page in iTunes.
Anyways, I don't want to take us down this rat hole too much further.
Okay. So what are we
like
what do
I
you,
said, I can't wait to see where we end up next.
What do you propose, Adam? Where would you like to move on to?
I don't know. We got the Black Friday thing. We've got
unlocking
iPhones in the UK, which that's an interesting story. O2 doing that.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to know why. I thought we were going to be able to do that in the U.S. through AT&T. I've got a first-gen iPhone. I would love it if I could go make them unlock it.
Give them a ring or fill out a form on your on the internet, and then 14 days later you have an unlocked phone. So essentially what they've done, I believe this followed immediately after the announcement that that Orange would be getting the iPhone in the U.K., that O2 would no longer be the exclusive carrier. That they're now allowing people to unlock their iPhones, although they, you know, you have to continue, you have to honor your contractual agreement as far as, you know, paying for service every month, getting out of it.
Over there, that's a huge deal though, right? Because you can go in, now you can travel to other countries and you can pop a new SIM in and not have to pay exorbitant, you know, cell phone fees and, you know, data roaming fees or roaming fees.
Boy, that
I don't know how
fantastic.
Data works when you swap SIM cards. You know, I know it's pretty straightforward for voice, but I don't know how data.
You know, I feel like it's probably pretty straightforward over there because that happens a lot more than it does here. But, you know, I would love to see that here, you know, in the U.S. because, you know, if you buy a phone from AT&T, it's subsidized and you're in a contract. They're going to get their money either way.
Yeah, that's fine. I think everybody understands that. Nobody, I don't think that many people, by this time, everybody gets that, hey, you know, I'm getting this subsidized phone. I'm going to have to, you know, either work out my contract or pay my ETF, my early termination fee. But
I don't know why
we have no way. It's like I own this phone, but it's still locked to the AT&T network. You know, I've paid my dues. I own it outright. And you're telling me I still can't take it to another carrier. It's just unbelievable.
I don't see any reason why AT&T wouldn't allow that. Well, I'm lying. I definitely see a reason. You know, if someone who you know has an original iPhone or whatever, you know, has gone through the 2 years, you know, a lot of people will continue to just, you know, keep with AT&T.
Right.
You know.
Right. So I'm just really happy that people in the UK now have this option. Now, if you're on O2. I think it's great. I want to see more carriers follow suit.
Shouldn't we be allowed to unlock our first generation iPhones?
I thought there was something. I mean, everybody made a big hoo-ha-ha about the DMCA having some provision for this, but I've never heard of anybody actually exercising that right.
Right. I feel like successfully.
See, that sounds so familiar. And I'm doing a Google search right now and I'm coming up dry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it might have been, you know, just conjecture or hearsay.
Yeah.
Which, you know, happens like on the internet so often. People want it to be true, so they start writing enough things about it, and then in their mind, suddenly it is true.
But isn't it, I mean, to you guys, isn't it just the right thing for a carrier to do? I mean, how about just like...
Who ever heard of a morally responsible cell phone carrier?
It's true. Oh, I'm living in an alternate universe or wanting to.
Yeah, that's what Twitter's good for. that's why I hang out there. But you're going to say something.
That explains so much, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go live where there's rainbows and ponies all the time.
Would you like to talk about the rainbows and ponies on Black Friday at the Apple store?
The mythical discounts. You know, it's so funny that this thing got such buzz. You want to tell everybody what it is, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
Well, essentially, Boy Genius Report got an image from an anonymous source saying that, you know, here's the email that's going out, or is it the email that's going out or that should go out at some point?
It's just the ad, yeah, probably the email that's going out or the ads that's going out.
Saying that up to 30% on all iPods, asterisk, up to 25% off all Macs, and up to 15% off all accessories, Apple software and hardware. And it says that it does not include the iPhone or the Shuffle on the 30% off iPods. Now, this is intense. Some intense discounting for Apple. I think last year it was like, yeah, we'll give you like 3% off your iPod Shuffle or something.
But there are two small favorite words of marketers in there that are the key to this whole thing.
Yeah, up to.
You know, I can go on Apple's website right now and look at a refurb Mac at, you know, 33% off. And they have those in stores. You know, they have refurbs, they have reconditioned. So you got one or two reconditioned iMacs or refurbished iMacs over there in the corner. And guess what? They're 30% off or 25% off.
Sure.
And everything else is 10%.
So do you guys think this is
real? Whatever it is.
You think this is a real ad? A real real something from Apple?
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, that's going to get people in the door. Their whole goal is get you into the retail store.
Right.
And it only has to be truthful. So if they have one model, you know, if it's an older generation iMac or the bottom of the line Mac Mini, and it's the Mac that's 25% off, then they've done their job and they've met their obligation and you're in the store.
Right. Well, I think there are certain, you know, rules about saying whether or not something's on sale. And it says all iPods and all Macs, you know, with the exemption.
Up to. That's
that
right.
They have to have one model iPod that's 30% off.
I feel
and
like it,
the
they have to have.
iPods could be 5% off.
I feel like, okay, yeah, that's true.
Every market, I mean, and this isn't, it's just, I think the difference is Apple classically hasn't done this, but, you know, I think they're getting more aggressive about their retail strategy, and tons of other retailers do this. I mean, Walmart, Best Buy, these guys, they have, you know, 50 LCD TVs that are, you know, 52-inch LCD TV for $350, 10 models, you know, per store, right, in the fine print. And they get you in the door, and what are you going to do when you're there? Are you going to walk out with nothing?
Yeah.
You're probably going to at least look around at some stuff, and, you know, maybe some of those people actually buy something.
Yeah. Do you guys actually do the Black Friday thing?
No.
You know, I have done Black Friday two different times, and it was for very specific products. And actually, both times it was, I believe it was hard drives. And it was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I do not like doing the Black Friday thing.
I have no
plans on doing it this week.
I was listening to Twit earlier, right before we started the show, and they had a guest on talking about how, for a lot of people, the Black Friday lineup outside the store thing is more of a party than anything else, because it's, you know, eat a bunch of food and then go sit, you know, against the side of a building for 8 hours, and it turns out, you know, when everybody leaves,
they're going to make fun of you.
There's a lot of
knowing the dodecahedron thing.
There are a lot of
go sit against the wall. Yeah.
Okay. So Michael here, just so I'll tell you why I don't do this stuff, and it's because of exactly what I mentioned. I mean, you go on Apple's website right now on their store, and if you want an iMac at 38% off, they have a refurbished 24-inch iMac, 3.0 gigahertz, Intel Core 2 Duo, 4 gigs of RAM, 1 terabyte hard drive.
But that's not new.
$1,350.
But that's not new. And what?
Well, no, it is. It's refurbished, which is exactly like new. A year of Apple Care warranty. You can get it extended. The point is that that's a really great deal, and I can get it any day I want. I can pop onto Apple's site and do that. So that's why I don't.
Now, didn't
rush
they
in for these deals at the store?
Didn't they in the past offer the same exact deals online though, as they did in the store, or were the deals sweeter in the store?
I don't think they were sweeter. I think it was the same deals online or in the store.
Do you remember what the deals were like last year? Weren't they? I think it was like 10% off select items.
It wasn't that exciting.
Because a lot of people are saying that this thing is totally false. And the only thing that makes me feel, because I feel like the...
I think it's true. I think it's exactly what I said earlier. There are one or two models that are going to be discounted that steeply. They're probably going to be prior generations or refurbs. And the rest are going to be the typical discounts we see from Apple, 10 to 15%.
Okay. And select Apple stores open at 6 a.m. So there you go. Go camp out at your local Apple store. Hopefully, they actually have
a fun
deals.
Place to be anyway. I mean, if you're going to be out at the mall on Black Friday, which is a miserable experience,
that's where I camp out.
And it's right next to Victoria's Secret anyhow, so you can't lose.
Well, you have a better location than I do, clearly, because mine's next to, there's the outside mall, you know, audio that goes on and it just every once in a while it'll advertise this one shop in the mall called La Hacienda. And I think that's just the most ridiculous name ever for, you know, a mall store. So that's the only, like, I catch the tail end of that ad, and then it's just a bunch of like really bad like early 90s music. But yeah,
okay. I'll find some of the pictures that I've taken from outside the Flatiron Crossing store.
Do you have the really good Victoria's Secret where they actually have the ladies dressed in the underwear, or is it just like, here's a picture that I have to do?
They have, I haven't gone in and asked any of them to show me their underpants yet because I know how that's going to end.
Yeah, and from experience.
sorry.
But should we move on?
It's one of the big Victoria's Secret stores.
Well, okay.
Since we're on the retail thing, I do have to mention to you guys, I did make my way into a Microsoft store.
Oh yeah,
about a week ago. Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about the video? The
they did. Well, this is what I was gonna say. They didn't do any line dancing when I was there. I was so disappointed.
Yeah,
that is disappointing.
I showed it to one of my
pretty much when I went in there, you know, everybody was in there checking out the Microsoft Surface table,
and like and the employees
everybody's like looking at the one thing you can't buy.
Yeah, and all of the employees were eating like cold cuts or something.
There were and it was kind of sad because there were way more employees employees in there, I think, than customers.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it was at least a 1-to-1 ratio. Although I do have to be honest and say about later that week, I was actually in my Apple store, which I've never been into, where it wasn't slammed day or night, anytime. And for some reason, it was a Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon. I was dealing with my iPhone about 1 o'clock, and it was just a sea of red shirts because they had gotten rid of all the different colored shirts. They all have red shirts on, I think, for their holiday.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I heard they got some really good sweaters. I have a friend who works at an Apple store, and I showed him the video, and he didn't even think it was funny. He just thought, like, they do that on
sad.
A shift? Like, what?
Well, you felt bad for them, and you look at the customers, and the customers
they
were
didn't even
like,
want to look at it. They
the
just,
customers had litter box face.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Litter box face is a face my cat gets when you walk past where her litter box is. And she wants to pretend like she doesn't see you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what all those people had, except for the couple that were looking like, did I just get swapped out into a different dimension of stupid?
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But, you know, the store felt like an Apple store.
It is an Apple store, except for they have the huge screens around the store, which I think is cool, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so... In the sense that you walked in and it felt like an Apple store, I will say that Microsoft has succeeded with their retail plan.
Yeah. Well, the plan was, let's completely copy every aspect of an Apple store, where we replace, the only thing we change is that we replace all of the Macs with PCs and all the software with PC software.
You know, I went to see photos from the first time those big wraparound screens in the store are showing a BSOD.
Well, well,
someone's
they're probably
gonna
playing
get
a DVD or something.
And I want to shake their hand because it's just going to be a wonderfully funny photo.
That yeah, that'll be the big news of the day on the internet when that does happen.
Oh yeah, there will be news sites where their servers will go down because so many people want to go see the photos.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the one perspective I can give that it is really different. I mean, it feels from a retail perspective like that, but like I said, I mean, honestly, I'm not joking. A lot of people were in there just kind of checking out the Microsoft Surface table. There were a couple guys in the back playing, you know, Xbox or whatever, and you know, and then there are a few people looking at some of the touchscreen, you know, computers. But it's sort of like, you know, they're selling computers for other people. I guess that's fine. I mean, they're also selling their operating system at the same time, which is probably how Microsoft looks at it. But the one thing that wasn't going on, that it just didn't have the vibe of an Apple store that you walk into. It, meaning that you walk into an Apple store and there's training going on. There's people, you know, learning, like actively engaged in and learning about the products and stuff like that. As opposed to sort of that Best Buy experience where it's just somebody, hey, I need a copy of Windows. Oh, okay, here's a copy of Windows.
Right, yeah.
So it was more like a store than a community.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's where I think it's going to fall short and where they're going to have their challenge is that's the difference about an Apple store. You go in there to have kind of an experience, this communal experience we've all had being Mac owners, and that's just not something that's ever going to intrude on a Microsoft store.
I think it's really weird that they got into retail at all. They don't have enough products, I feel, to, you know, of their own actual hardware products to sell in a retail store.
So they had cool netbooks in there from Dell and
well, they're not theirs. And, they're not, you know, Microsoft's. And yeah, they have the operating system.
Well, like I said, you know, the experience felt very much like, so it looked like an Apple store, but the buying vibe that was going on in there was a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
It does, yeah.
It does.
I mean, it doesn't, but that's where they're going to have a challenge.
Mm-hmm. You know, your comment about it just seems weird that Microsoft got into the retail business. On one hand, yes, but on the other hand, they were in a position where they really needed to do something like that, whether mm-hmm. they wanted to or not, because they needed to react to what Apple has been doing in the market and they need to do something that gives them more control over the message they're sending out. And when you walk into Best Buy or in the old days when we used to have CompUSA and Circuit City and all those places, the message you got about what Microsoft products were was pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The only problem with the Microsoft store is it just seems like the employees have to try too hard. Like I said, the consumers coming in there aren't looking for that communal experience where you are when you're going into an Apple store. And so things like this video just illustrate how Microsoft's kind of having to force community on its consumers. And the consumers are just like, ew, just sell me a copy of Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really how it felt. You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but that's kind of how it felt walking around in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to, I think, the last thing we're going to talk about, the last story. Virgin Mobile is set to carry the iPhone in Canada. So they've recently updated their network to HSPA, and they'll start carrying the 3G and the 3GS. Now in Canada, I believe that Virgin Mobile has been traditionally a prepaid carrier,
right?
Although it seems like, you know, the iPhone won't be a prepaid device there.
That's kind of a big business model change for Virgin.
Yeah. Does Virgin carry the iPhone anywhere else?
Not that I know of.
No, not that I know of either.
And do they traditionally...
It's hard to know, though. I mean, yeah. iPhone's in how many markets now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but Virgin, I thought all the phones that they dealt with were all the prepaid things, which is a great business model if you can do it. Right. And for the types of phones that they typically deal with, that's really easy to do. You walk in, pick up a blister pack, throw down some money, and you walk out with a phone that works.
Right.
And the next time you need to use it again, you just recharge your phone card, and away you go.
Yeah. And that's how they are in the States, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in the States, do they operate like, what do they call it, an MNVO? Is that right? Mobile Network Virtual Operator or something like that?
Yeah,
Probably getting that acronym wrong.
I can't remember the acronym, but I believe you're right.
Yeah, basically meaning they kind of piggyback on other carriers.
Right, like what Cricket does.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All I have to say is, I mean, the cool thing about it is, it's like, I'm envious of the Canadians now, because it's just like in the last month, the iPhone just exploded open onto, you know, they've got Bell and now Virgin, and what was the other company they just added? I mean, they added like three carriers in 3 months.
Yeah, and you know, it's like the UK is getting more carriers. You know, we want more carriers over here. Even though, you know, I guess it's, I don't, you know, yeah. T-Mobile with their even suckier 3G coverage. And, yeah, and Verizon just, with an incompatible network. So it's kind of, I wonder if it's just we're waiting for the networks to kind of open up, you know, to get more networks that would work well with the iPhone in the US.
Well, and I don't even think I'd switch. You know, I have been perfectly happy with AT&T since switching from Verizon. I don't see any need to move back, but yeah. I know I have a lot of other friends and people that would love to get the iPhone and just won't leave Verizon. So I, you know, if for any other reason, and T-Mobile, same degree. I know some people who love T-Mobile. So it'd just be great to be able to see this cool hardware and this cool platform open up to more consumers. So I'm happy to see it happening in other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to our iPhone picks. But before we do that,
you got to do the blower story.
Are we going to talk about?
I'm curious. Did you download this app and actually try it?
I didn't. I think Ed grabbed it. And it does actually work.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah.
So you better tell everybody what it is, because I saw the video on the iPhone Alley site when you sent the link for today's show, and I was like, no, this can't work.
Yeah. So the app is called Blower, and it acts as a small air blower for all those tricky candles you can't blow out. You can use your iPhone instead.
Like a leaf blower. I mean, it has a little like leaf blower kind of interface and makes the most god awful sound. So added bonus is you could probably really tick off your parents or teachers or coworkers with the app.
Well,
I think
part of the horrible sound is that's the only way they can make the speaker pump out enough, you know, air.
Right. Yeah. So it like literally extends the range of the diaphragm of the speaker. I was reading in your article. So supposedly it, you know, it fluctuates between a couple tones that extend, and I would imagine distend the speaker diaphragm to its maximum limits.
Yep.
Very rapidly.
Yep. And so it blows out just enough air to blow out candles and maybe annoy your cat while it's sleeping.
And probably totally destroy your iPhone speaker at some point.
Yeah. Well,
this is an application that you need to blow out candles, your stage of emphysema is probably so bad. This isn't something you're going to care about anymore.
The best thing about it is it really just does extend I just love seeing the creativity that app developers are having, and it really extends Apple's whole thing of there's an app for that. Like, mm-hmm. There is no an app that can literally physically blow out candles. This is the same way I felt about, you know, and it's a little more useful, but Okinara, the first time someone told me about Okinara, is it Okinara or Okinara?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's Okinara.
To play, you know, to blow into the speaker hole on your iPhone.
Oh, Ocarina.
Play.
Oh, yeah, Ocarina, that's it.
You guys are crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
Ocarina.
Okay. I know how to blow in my iPhone. Doesn't mean I know how to say the app's name.
Okay.
But I mean, the first time I saw that, it's like, this is so creative, and it turns the iPhone into a wind instrument, and whoever would have thought of a cell phone being a wind instrument.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic.
This is a little more goofy, but
it's
a little more
esoteric and stupid, is what you're you mean to say.
But the point is like, yes, there is an app that can blow out candles.
I guess.
Yeah. Just the fact that it exists makes me happy.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I'm not going to get it or buy it or whatever, but
or give it any more attention.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
No, I wasn't.
Good lead in to picks, though.
Okay, yeah. So, but before we do our picks, I have to talk about our sponsor, which this week is OnSeeker Music. And if you don't know what OnSeeker Music is, it's a fantastic little application that allows you to check out artists and venues and you know, look at, you know, discover music and find you know, details on events, you know, your favorite band coming to town. You can check it out, get tickets, directions, all that fun stuff. You can look at artist and venue information right from the app. It uses your current location to list nearby shows, which is always useful. I do that with Last.fm, but I have to, you know, put settings in for that and change it whenever I'm in a different area. So if I'm on vacation, you know, I would actually have to go and, you know, change those settings for Last.fm if I wanted to, you know, see what's going on that night or something like this. So this uses your current location. And the best part is it's totally free and it's available right now in the App Store. Go check it out if you like music, which I guess there are people who don't like music. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, OnSeeker Music is really cool. You should go check it out. And we thank them for their sponsorship of the iPhone Alley podcast. With that, well, it's OnSeeker Music, just one more time so you remember. Let's move on to our iPhone picks. Actually, before we do our iPhone picks, I also want to say that we've been nominated for a podcast award. It's podcastawards.com, right? Yeah.
Yes.
You can vote every day and vote for your favorite shows, but please vote for the iPhone Alley podcast if you'd like to. We would sure appreciate that. Voting is open until the end of the month, the end of November. And Adam's also nominated. The Mattcast is nominated for podcast award.
If you can vote for me too, we're in separate categories, so there's no competition going on there.
Yep,
you can vote for both of us.
So be sure to do that.
That's just cool.
We would so love you if you did that. You can vote every single day. Podcastawards.com. Vote often.
Have you? Is this your first nomination?
Second
time you've been nominated, Michael?
We were nominated last year, and I think
so we both been nominated in the past and not won, so it'd be very cool this year if our fans could all pop over there. And the one thing somebody pointed out to mention, too, you have to validate your vote. Did you know this? So when you vote...
Oh, yeah, you have to click the link in the email.
You have to click that email. So if you have your spam filter on or something like that, make sure you click the link that you get emailed. Otherwise, your vote won't count. So I'd hate to have anybody's vote go uncounted.
Yeah, it wasn't obvious to me even when I voted. I went in there and it said, great, your vote was counted. And I went into my email later that day and it said, click this link. So I did that.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yep, podcastawards.com. And with that, Adam, would you like to start us off with your iPhone pick?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do a pick that I think was done. I went and looked and I think it was picked back on Episode 3 by Bill Palmer.
Okay.
But this is a newer version of this product, and it is the Mophie Juice Pack Air.
Okay.
I assume Mophie Juice Pack.
Yeah, so that's totally legal.
Yeah. So, I just have to, because this has become a product that, and I have to give a little backstory on this and a bit of advice. So, I think I'd mentioned on the show before that ever since getting my iPhone 3GS, I've been having kind of battery issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like my battery was notoriously unreliable and I kept feeling it was the phone when I kept going to the Genius Bar and making appointments and they would hook it up to their little diagnostic machine and look at me like I was crazy and tell me that, no, it's perfectly fine. It's totally within tolerances. And I would get the, well, you know, it's a mini computer and not just a cell phone. And,
the patronizing talk.
This last time I had been using the GPS one day, and granted it was heavy usage, you know, I had GPS on
Google Maps
and used it for about an hour and the phone went from 100% to zero.
That's Adam. You know, if I ever test if I need to test a battery pack, I'll turn on a GPS app for, you know, a half an hour and completely drain my battery, which is probably bad for my battery, but it, you know, the GPS is really effective
at
draining the battery, especially if you're indoors and there's no way it's going to find it.
Well, and they told me it would last 10 minutes. You know, and I was come on, no, like 10 minutes, come on. But no, seriously, most days I would, like, literally the straw that broke the camel's back this last week was I had it 100% charged in the morning, went to my office. I had not turned the phone on. 3.5 hours later, it was dead.
Oh, boy.
I said, this is not normal. And finally, they replaced the phone, and lo and behold, my phone lasted 2 days without having to be recharged.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so persistence pays off, but that's not the point of this. The point is, I, in the meantime, had bought the Mophie Juice Pack Air, which is absolutely awesome. I love the product. I love the original Mophie. I had it for my first-gen iPhone. The Air is even cooler because it's super light and the little case, you know, it just slides in like a case. It's like having a little case on your iPhone. It has a switch on the bottom. So, you know, sometimes I would just need to kind of top off my phone so I could flip the on switch. It would start charging it. And I guess I should describe it for everybody. Basically, It has a little dock connector. It looks like a hard case with a little dock connector in the bottom. You slide the iPhone into it, and it has a battery built in that you recharge via the USB, and it'll hold, I think the Air holds almost a full charge, like 75%. The original Mophi, I think, held about 100% charge for your iPhone. So if your iPhone was at zero, you could charge it up one time. The Air does it about 75% if you're totally at zero, I think. But the thing is so lightweight. Like, I don't know. You couldn't even tell there was a battery in there. So you dock it in. It's got a switch now on this one where you can actually flip it on. It has a little indicator on the back with lights that you can push to see how much charge the juice pack has in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like it because I can actually continue to use the phone, because it's almost like just having it in a case while it's charging in the device, versus I've tried other battery packs. Like, I have a Kensington one that kind of docks on the bottom, like the Richard Solo, but then you have this thing hanging off your phone. You can't really put it in your pocket very easily. So the juice pack kind of solves some of those problems. About the only complaint I've heard is it does have this kind of top cap that comes off to let you slide the phone in. Mm-hmm. Some people mentioned that breaks. Yep. I haven't had a problem with mine.
I'll tell you my story right now. I grabbed the juice pack Air when I went to Lollapalooza over the summer. And of course, I dropped it at some point, and the top little clip part did actually break.
Yeah, so I've been careful with mine. I guess they do sell replacement ones, which many people point to as, well, see, they break so often, they have to sell replacement ones. But you could still use it without the cap thing. It might look a little bit sillier, but I mean, the original one didn't have a top cap, so I never had a problem with it. But it's been a great product for me. I think it was like $70 at the Apple store. And it's just one of those things that when you need to juice up and you can't get to a plug, you're going to be happy you have it charged and in your bag or whatever. It's easy enough to just slip in a bag. I carry it in my laptop bag and always have it with me charged up and ready to go just in case. So it's one of those invaluable iPhone accessories that I rely on.
Well, you can use it as just...
So I thought I should mention it.
You can use it as just a case and always keep it on there. And that's why the switch on the bottom is awesome.
Yeah.
Because you can turn off the battery part until you really need it. So maybe you go, you know, several days without actually needing that battery, but the one day you do need it, you know, it's right there.
Right.
Can you sync through the case?
So great gift if you have a iPhone user, you know, heavy iPhone user who's complaining their battery's constantly running down and you're looking, you know, for what to get them, I would highly recommend the Juice Pack Air. They also still have the original Juice Pack if you're worried about the durability, and I think they have it for the 3GS.
Yeah. Now, does this, will it sync through the case? I can't remember.
From what I understand, it does, except that a lot of people were getting bad cables. And so if you have one that doesn't sync, contact the company.
I did hear that, yeah.
And they'll send you a replacement USB cable that works right.
Yeah, because
so they must have gotten like a bad batch.
They're using.
Yeah, I haven't even tried that because I use the iPhone dock, so.
You just pull it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a micro USB on the bottom, so that's why people were complaining a little bit about that too. But for the most part, it's a pretty solid.
Again, you can
awesome
always go
product.
With the original one, and the original one I would dock and charge through the, through the connector while it was still in the holder, which you could do. So
yeah, $79.95, and what's the original juice pack? Is that 100?
I think it's $100. Yeah, but like I said, it does hold a little more.
Yeah.
A little more charge. You can actually fully charge the iPhone, I think, with that one.
Those are great products. I love those. The Mophi guys. Great pick, Jeff. What do you have for us this week?
I have NetScan, which is a cool little application that will scan whatever network you're on or whatever IP address you went to check to see what type of ports are open, if firewalls are active. And so it's a cool little utility for making sure that your network is locked down the way you want, or to find out if there's security issues that you need to know about. And you can ping other people's servers to see if they're locked down the way they ought to be. And yes, there's always the opportunity to use a tool like this for evil, but use it for good.
Unless you use it for evil.
Wait, I have to ask one question. Will it do a trace route as well?
No, but the company makes another application that does, I think it's called like Deep Trace Route or Deep Trace or something like that.
Deep and who is? No, that's something else.
Hold on. Actually, it's on my iPhone. Hold on. Let me look.
Sorry, I just said I've been using. Nice trace. I've been having a need. We've been having some issues with the VPN at my office, and I've been having trouble connecting with my iPhone. So I've been using iStat to do pings and trace routes. So I'm not enamored with that tool. I mean, it's fine for it, but I don't know if it's the greatest for doing pings and trace routes. I like it, but I'm always out for an alternative.
Actually, I have to change my answer on that. I was thinking of another application they make that's called Deep Whois.
Yeah.
As far as the trace thing goes, I haven't actually tried to do a trace from this. I don't think it does. Which kind of sucks. That would be really cool because it digs up so much awesome info about networks.
Yeah, this looks really cool.
And yeah, I found it to be really handy.
Yeah. So it's called NetScan.
NetScan, and it's 99 cents.
Yep. Cool. Great pick. I actually checked that out, and I haven't actually put it on my phone, but I got a copy from them, and I'll be sure to play with it. I never know what to do with these kind of utilities, though, because, you know, I went through the Cisco class in high school, uh-huh. and I know what IPs do now, and I know what subnet masks do, and that's about it.
Well, when you have a need to troubleshoot a network, tools like this on your iPhone are great, because especially the one thing that's really nice for me is that you can, you know, say pop over to an outside network like 3G. Like I constantly have a problem where I need to test something at my office, but I need an outside connection, and the iPhone I'm finding is like a perfect tool for that, because you can pop on the 3G network mm-hmm. and be coming in from outside the local LAN or the local Wi-Fi or something like that.
It'd be great for someone who works on networks.
You know, it's also handy for anyone that has a network. Like put it on your iPhone and then put in the IP address for your own router mm-hmm. and see what ports are open.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for locking things down and making sure you're secure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the next time you're in Starbucks, check the network there. It's surprising. Trust me.
Yeah.
You'll just be frightened.
Yeah. It's amazing what shows up in the report.
Okay. So my pick is, have I picked groceries yet? I don't think anybody has, from Sophistication Software. It's $5 and it's a grocery list. It's a very, very, very pretty grocery list. And that's why I like it.
I think you have picked it.
Really? I don't think I've talked about a grocery list, because I recently went from using OmniFocus as like a single action list in OmniFocus to actually using a standalone app, because OmniFocus has gotten really slow for me doing that optimization thing.
You know, okay, I might be wrong. I think someone else is telling me about this. But okay. It's a grocery list. It's like a purple icon.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong app.
This is from Sophistication, because her name is Sophia. Sophistication Software. And it's for one, it's very, very, very well done. The UI is perfect. And it's got tons and tons of stuff already preloaded in the app. So, you know, I'm vegan, so I go and I buy the, you know, like the Boca Burgers. Not only does it have Boca Burgers in the list, but it also has all the different variations. So if I want to get, you know, a very specific kind, I, you know, just do a quick little search for that, you know, tap it there, it's added to my list. And it's also got this, you know, it's a two tab kind of thing where your list is, you know, if you're out shopping, you kind of want to work in the remaining, but if you switch over to all, you can see all the stuff that you've crossed off. And so, because you generally keep buying the same things over and over, you just go back to all instead of, you know, having to search for stuff again and again. You just uncross them and they end up in your remaining list again. And it's very smart about, you know, how you actually go and you check the stuff off. So, you know, when you get the milk or whatever, you tap it and it puts a line through it and it waits for about 2 or 3 seconds until it actually takes it away from the list. So if you accidentally hit, you know, the button and cross off the wrong thing, you can hit it again. It'll take the cross out of there and you can cross off the right thing. And it works very, very well. You can even email lists. You can have multiple types of lists. So you can, you know, have my groceries and, you know, one for Thanksgiving. And so you don't have to, you know, if you have a special event maybe you're working on and you don't want to have to deal with getting rid of all that special food from your regular grocery list, you can have a different list for it. And it breaks it down by category, and it, and, you know, so you have like breakfast food, dairy. You can, I've seen a lot of applications, grocery list applications that, you know, try to break it down by, you know, specific aisle number. And I've never understood why you'd want to do that. You know, having it just breaking it down by produce, dairy, you know, breakfast foods and, you know, bakery and that kind of stuff makes a lot more sense.
And, huh.
Yeah. Are you guys looking at it? Because it's very pretty.
Well, I was using the great search functionality on the iPhone Alley podcast to figure out if you did mention it before. And
did I?
You know what you're thinking of? Because your search is, the search is great on iPhone Alley. Just let everybody know that. Episode 57, the infamous Merlin Mann productivity episode, it was mentioned, but I don't know that it was actually.
Okay.
That's very possible. There, I think I picked, did I pick Simple Note like a couple episodes back? Because,
I think so.
Yeah. And there was another one of those
that
things.
One too, I think.
He mentioned every app in the store, so I felt it was okay to mention something specifically again.
So, you know, and I have to make another comment too, because when you said the price, I was like, oh man, you know, that much for a grocery app, but it sounds very cool. And the one thing that I'm thinking is, you know, I think most apps on the store are underpriced, and this is probably priced perfectly.
I feel like it is priced perfectly because you can, I mean, there's so much thought that's gone into this. Not, I mean, the last update was something like in the notes, it said that she added this feature where once you've typed in a search query and checked, you know, whichever item you want added to your list, the app then automatically selects all of the text in the search field. So you don't have to go and, you know, double tap to select the text to delete it and start typing something else. It automatically selects it. So you just start typing your next thing.
Yeah. So, you know, all of us need to kind of get over the 99-cent thing, I think, and support these developers that are
completely
making these apps with great features and stuff like that. And I'm trying to be better about that because I often, my initial reaction, I've fallen prey to the whole 99-cent, you know, stigmatism on the App Store. I'll see an app and it's like, oh, it's $2.99 or $3.99. And I've just realized, get over it.
Yeah, I mean, for something like this, for an app like this that's actually, you know, has a good developer behind it and is actually continuously updating and put a lot of thought into the app, there's no reason why you shouldn't, you know, give them $5.
In what world is a great application being $5 too expensive?
Right. I mean,
it's
stupid. Yeah. You know, I like to sit to use, you know, a fake Steve quote occasionally for apps that just blow me away and say that, you know, it restores a sense of childlike wonder in my life. It's one of those apps where, you know, you're going to use it and you're going to be very happy that you paid $5 for it.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's called Groceries by Sophistication Software, because there are a lot of apps actually named just Groceries. So it's Groceries dash or hyphen the grocery shopping list. And if you're looking at one that looks ugly, then you're looking at the wrong one. So there you go. And with that, I should say that in our podcast marketplace this month is You There from Mac About Town and a free audiobook from Audible at audiblepodcast.com/iPhone. I just recently grabbed More Information Than You Require. You know, John Hodgman's next book. Have you guys checked that out yet?
Oh. No, I hear it's awesome.
Yeah, it was published like last year, I want to say. But it, you know, it took a little while for the full audio version to hit Audible because he actually reads it, and he's got a lot of guests on there, including Jonathan Colton once again, who I love. He's fantastic. I believe Colton is actually Hodgman's like next door neighbor or something.
No, that's convenient.
They were back in New York, I think, back in the day. That's how they met.
Yeah, and then I guess Hodgman probably moved to LA or something.
I think so. Yeah,
because he's got that high profile PC gig, you know, pretending to be a computer.
He's not really a computer.
They actually talk about that in the book, which is really funny. So, I mean, it's fantastic. You go check it out. You can use your free credit to get more information than you require. Which is a wonderful audio.
That's just awesome.
Wonderful book title. And with that, we'll say you can go to iPhoneAlley.com for more news, tips, and reviews. You can share a tip or ask us to review a product or an application by hitting the contact link. You can find all of our iPhone picks in the show notes at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. And you can send feedback to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And once again, you can find the wonderful Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer every day, as well as the iPod Observer. And you do Design Tools Weekly?
I do.
And what else do you have going on? Is that about it?
Let's see. So,
you, gosh, just, you need more?
You're on the Twitter, twitter.com/jgamet.
Right. And sometimes the Mac Voices and Mac Jury podcasts.
Oh, yeah, those are fun. Adam's on those too, right? You've been invited to that, right?
Every once in a while, yeah, when I can make it over. Chuck does a great show over there. So
it's lots of fun.
Yeah, it's great. And you can find Adam at the MacCast at MacCast.com and, of course, Twitter.com/MacCast. And do you want to pimp anything else?
You know what? One thing I do want to, I am doing a little fundraising this month, and I'm looking for donations because I could use the money for this cause, which is a great cause. I'm raising money to help fight prostate cancer in men. So, you know, everybody does the whole pink ribbon thing for breast cancer, which is great and wonderful and should be supported. But, you know, men's health issues and cancer are also up there, and it's a preventable form of cancer. And so just to try and educate people, there's an organization called Movember that every November people pledge to grow mustaches. And I don't know how this started, but I think the point is that I can suffer through having a mustache in my holiday pictures if, you know, other men can suffer through prostate cancer. So
you've grown
a mustache. There's a picture up on maccast.com, and there's a blog post in there with a donation link. If anybody so feels inclined to donate a couple bucks, I would really appreciate it.
Are you allowed to, that's a nice mustache, by the way. are you allowed to?
Yeah, I can't grow a mustache, which is the other great thing. It just looks horrible.
Haven't hit puberty yet?
This is actually the best one I've ever grown.
It looks good. It looks fine. I can't do a mustache at all.
You know,
so.
But I'm 12 years old, so.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's like a scientist mustache.
Yeah.
So if you know, you can go without a latte for a day and donate $3 or $5 or anything.
So where do you go? Anything. Where do you go to donate?
Just go to that blog post at maccast.com. There's a link right there that says donate.
Yep, maccast.com and look for
Movember.
Movember. It was posted on November 17th.
Yeah.
So how much money have you raised so far, or do you want to say?
The $25 that I put in.
That's it?
Come on, guys. Grow a mustache.
So everyone that's listening to this podcast, just if you do just $2,
yep,
that will be a huge help.
Yeah.
And
and it really is. It's a completely, if detected early, completely curable form. You know, it can be prevented, and it's just the standard checkup stuff. And just check it out. All the information's over on the Movember website, and I appreciate it.
Is it Movember.com?
Yeah, and it goes to, you know, the part of it's the Lance Armstrong, Live Strong Foundation's involved this year. So, you know, there's good organizations behind it. So it's not a scam. It's not, you know, it's a serious thing, and I appreciate anybody donating.
All right, so set a threshold, and since I already have a mustache and the whole goatee thing, if you hit whatever the threshold is, then I will shave mine off, and you can put a picture on your website to show everyone I really did it.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I'm willing to shave for prostate cancer.
Here's the other thing. If you click the link, I'm on a team with Nick Software, the company I work for, and so we're all kind of competing but also working together to raise money. So it'd be cool to just beat out my coworkers just for bragging rights. So
yeah, and you'll get Jeff to shave.
The top guy's just over $100, so maybe if we can get a couple $100, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, we can totally do that.
Wait, come on, guys. So what threshold for Jeff? What? Yeah, 250? Or is that too high?
No, I think that's totally reasonable because I think iPhone LA podcast listeners are not cheap asses.
All right, so get us up to 250, and Jeff will shave his mustache.
Do it. I want to see this happen. If you guys, that'd be fantastic. MacCast.com. look for Movember. It was posted on November 17th. You get all the details.
Yeah, I've also been tweeting about it, and it's also on my Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/themaccast, I think it's there. If not, I'll make sure it gets up there.
Yeah, go check it out. All right. Wonderful. All right. And with that, well, I'll mention iPhone Alley, twitter.com/iPhone Alley. And with all that, another iPhone Alley podcast is in the can.
An iPod. An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?